Good evening, Rabbi Mavsky. I entitled the topic for tonight is Women's Intuition. And it's very simple. We just read the Aseres HaDibros over Shavuos. And the interesting thing is, before the Aseres HaDibros, God says, Koso Ma'alaveis Yaakov V'Sageid L'Vnei Yisrael. And of course, Chazal tell us that the difference in the Lashon of Somar, we're not going to speak about the Aseres HaDibros, I just wanted it, that is an introduction. But to speak to the women and to tell B'nai Yisrael V'Sageid L'Vnei Yisrael, and it says to the women, you have to speak with Amira Raka softly, and to the men more harshly. But there's a greater background to that, and that is that women have a greater intuition, and he didn't have to speak harshly to the women because they have a greater understanding. As the Gemara tells us, or Chazal tells us, they have a Bina Yisera. There's something about their intuition. When God told Abraham to bring his son to the Akedah, why didn't he tell Sarah? So the Gemara tells us that he didn't tell Sarah because he thought, rightly so, that Sarah would understand that God never told Abraham to actually sacrifice him. He said to just bring him for a carbon, but not to actually sacrifice him. And so then it wouldn't have been a test. And he just told Avraham because they just do as they are told or as they perceive it to be what the word is. And we get that in various places. And of course, we know in the Maisa Egel, the women refused to give their jewelry because they realized this was not going to be a winning proposition. And there are many stories that we have with the same thing, that the women have a different type of understanding. And where I'm going with that is, we'll get to it in a minute. But I just wanted to make a couple of notices in the parsha. The parsha begins, strangely enough, with B'nei Gershon Gamheim. What is the Nasoas Rosh B'nei Gershon Gamheim? What is the point of saying Gamheim also? The parsha ended last week with the B'nei Kahos, and it said, Al Tachrizu Shevet Mishpachos HaKosi, but as opposed to the other two. Because we see as in this parsha, Shevet Kahos, again, he tells only the men because the women would understand it naturally. And he tells Kahos, Ki avodas ha-kodesh aleihem ba-koseif yisou. They have to carry the Aron. We see what happens later on when, by David HaMelech, later on, hundreds of years later, by David HaMelech, when they put the Aron in the wagon, they weren't supposed to do it. They should have been carrying on their shoulders. Women have an innate understanding of what God tells them to do, that they should do it, and the way they do it, they could be spoken to differently. They have the ability to read between the lines much more easily. And this goes on to say that B'nai Kahos was given way in last week's parsha, and really they should have had all the three, B'nai Kahos, Gershon, and Merari, all together in one parsha. But the reality was, Kahos, because they carry the Aron, they had the greater degree of sanctity in their job. But since Gershon was the Bechor, we wanted to give him a little bit of kavod by starting the parsha with Gershon, so Gamheim. But the Gamheim means something else as well. When we say B'nai Kahos, it tells us what is the reason that a Levi has to be at least 30 years old before he's eligible to do his job, as opposed to going to war. You would think going to war you have to be 20, but to Levi, when you have to be really strong, because they have to carry the Aron, you have to be even stronger than the ability of going to war. This is a greater degree of stress on the body, and you have to be a man of greater strength, and you have to be at least 30 years old. And so it says, Kamehame, that even though Merari and Gershon didn't have the job of carrying the Aron, their job wasn't as physically stressful, and they might be, you might think that they have to be, they can be eligible to be younger, but nevertheless, all of them, for the sake of not doing anything different, because if somebody would not be able to do it, they would have to fill in. But the truth of the matter is, that wouldn't come to pass, because we say one thing very easily, Chazal tell us, and we've heard the expression, Aron as the same thing that happened by Uzzah and David HaMelech. It said, Aron no say it's no so. The Aron itself, God made a miracle for those who were not able, were not strong enough to carry the Aron, that God would supplement their strength with a miracle of aiding them and being able to carry. But if that is so, if he would give them that strength, then why did they have to be 30? Because even if they were weaker, even if they were 25, one might ask, that they, if God is going to make a miracle and do it that way, so that is just as well. He could be 25 and God will give, supplement his strength with a miracle. But we always know that we always try to minimize the amount of miracle that God has to do for us. When God has to intervene and create, perform miracles for us, it decreases our bank account. And therefore, we try to do as much as we can with the strength that we have on our own and do it properly. And so that all of the Leviim had to be of 30 years old, 30 to 50, because Chazal tell us at the age of 50, your strength begins to wane. I think, as we all know, if we, those of us who are past the age of 50 and 60, I could tell you that I have more muscles but less strength than I used to. Now, that's very interesting in terms of that, in terms of that. But we have other things in the parasha that are very interesting in terms of that. We have the Nazir and the Sota. Now, the way the parasha goes, it mentions the, well, first what I wanted to do is, it seems very strange that we have, it says, Amar Lohem, Yivarecha Hashem V'yishmarecha, Yair Hashem Pono V'elecha V'chuneka. And then we've mentioned before, but it always bears repeating, because we should put a time frame on what's going on in this parasha. We have all the karbonos of the 12 Shvatim, and it's really very interesting, because the fact remains, when did all this happen? Well, if we go all the way back to Parshas Pekudei, when Moshe had put up the Mishkan 7 days running, took it down, put it up, took it down, put it up, until the eighth day. And Vayhi Bayom HaShmini was the eighth day when it stood permanently. And now this is what we're talking about, because this is exactly when they brought all these karbonos all the way now in Parshas Noso, is the same moment as what's happening in Parshas Pekudei and in Parshas Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, Koro Moshe. And also in that part it says, Vayisa Aaron Es Yodo Vayivarechem, and it doesn't tell us what he blessed them with, but now it gives us Yivarecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha. And of course, the Abar Ben El makes a very interesting point over here. It's that after the Maisa Soter and the Nazir, when the Nazir, who has not been able to drink and not become Tomei for a period of time, at least 30 days certainly, and now he's waiting, chomping at the bit, so to speak, until the time when he can have a glass of wine, because he decided to abstain from it to make himself more holy, because he had an occurrence in his life that made him feel that he needed the chizuk to make himself closer to God at this time, to avoid doing any sin that he was felt compelled to do, perhaps. And he swore that he would not go near anything tummy and not drink any wine. And now he feels that he's free. After 30 days, he has to bring a carbon. Why does he bring a carbon? Because the truth of the matter is, he has to bring a carbon because what drove him to become a Nazir in the first place? He had some thoughts, obviously, that drove him to be a Nazir. And now he is going to be now all this time for at least this period of 30 days. He wasn't tummy till now. And now he's going to be Tomei. Obviously, he's going to allow himself to become Tomei. And therefore, for that itself, he should bring a carbon. But why does it say Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha at this point as well? Because if he's going to let himself loose and become Tomei and maybe drink and perhaps get drunk because he hasn't had any whiskey for a period of time, he will go off the wagon, so to speak, and drink a little bit too much. So now the Abar Ben El says that Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha, may God help you at this point in time. But now getting back to the topic at hand, it was very interesting. We come to the end of the parsha and we have the Haftorah. The Haftorah is a very important Haftorah here because it has many lessons that we learn from it. And the reason I mentioned it, I entitled it Women's Intuition, because it's very interesting. The Malach comes down and to Manoach and his wife, but the Malach initially only comes down to the wife of Manoach. And one might ask, why talk to the wife of Manoach? It would seem, as we seemingly in the Torah, we're always dealing with the men, but actually Manoach himself was not a seemingly, as we are told, Manoach was not an extremely bright person, as we see his conversation with his wife, and she understands better But the truth of the matter is, why is Yiddishkeit of matrilineal descent what decides who is a Jew is if the mother? So why would the Malach have to come and talk to the mother and not the father in terms of being a Nazir? Because women are not Nazirim, but the man are, makes a vow to become a Nazir. So perhaps he should talk to the husband. But the reality is, when a child is born, and when the woman is pregnant, she would have to become a Nazir. She herself could not be Tamei at this point, because from the moment she would get pregnant, from the minute that she would start to have her, she would, bear a child in the beginning of the 9 months. God wanted it to be pure from that moment on. So she would have to, Manoach's wife would have to not drink wine and not become Tamei for this whole 9 month period before Shimshon would be born. And she would understand that. But more importantly, when the child is born, who is going to take care of him? Who is going to feed him? Who is going to has the ability to make sure that he doesn't become Tamei or doesn't drink wine or doesn't cut his hair, all that? All of these things fall within the purview of the mother when a child is very young. And that is why he had to tell her. And when she comes home and tells the husband, he doesn't quite get it and wants to talk to the Malach himself. But even after the second time rolls around and he talks to the Malach himself, we see the category. He says, then we're going to die. And she says, no, of course not. He wouldn't have accepted our Ola. She realizes that he doesn't see. She is, so to speak, the brains of the outfit here. And that's another reason why the Malach comes to talk to her, because generally speaking, once again, he has to speak to the woman of the species, so to speak, because she has a greater understanding. She realizes and she understands totally what needs to be done. Unfortunately for both of them, of course, Shimshon, when as he grew up, he couldn't even tell his parents about his plan, what God had told him, what he had to do, because we asked the question so many times, how could he go ahead and marry all these plishti women? And the fact remains, of course, he was Megayer them, he converted them to Judaism before he married them, but nevertheless, he had a plan, and this plan was from God to try to force the plishtim. What his goal was, not getting them into war, as we see Shimshon, for all the years that he was the shofet, never went to war with them. He just incited them to destroy them, and which he accomplished for those years that he was the shofet. But the point is, the whole idea of what we're saying in the parsha and what we're saying in the Aseres Hadibros is all about women's intuition, and that God understands that talking to women is a much easier event to go through, because things get done a little better. They have that Bina Yisera, they have that extra sense of what God is talking about. So it's Kosomar Leves Yaakov. I just have to tell them simply. I don't have to instruct them with all the whys and wherefores. Men are always trying to. We have a Gemara cup, or what does a Gemara cup teach you? To read between the lines, but reading between the lines sometimes is not the thing to do. You just have to pay attention to what God has said, and the women have that ability to understand when they're being told something that this is what they need to do. And these are the interesting things. But getting back to a Nazir and a Sota, the Sota, one might ask, many people ask, if the woman is not guilty, why does she have to go through all these things? But we have to always remember that she did what she wasn't supposed to do. She secluded herself with a man when she wasn't truly supposed to do it. And that is what we say. But getting back to the very beginning of the parsha, we have when Moshe put up the Mishkan 7 times and took it down 7 times and took it down. What is the reason that he had to do it 7 times? Of course, we know what a dress rehearsal is all about, so everybody would learn how to do it, watch him do it 7 times. But that is where we get the expression, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. Pol Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kam. That of Tzadik, he understands that no matter how many times he gets knocked down, and that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. We've been knocked down so many times through the centuries, but we always get up on our 2 feet. And that's what the remez was. 7 times we get that. Moshe put up the Mishkan, and he took it down. so that we could bring all those karbonas. The interesting thing is, obviously, they brought all 12 shvatim, brought all the same 12 karbonas, and one might ask, why did they necessarily have to be so wordy? The Torah is so terse in so many areas, and now every paragraph is exactly the same word for word. They brought all the same karbonas, but the truth of the matter is, the amazing thing is that they all had different thoughts. They all came to the same idea and how to bring each carbon and which animals they had to bring. And they all had a different thought behind each purpose of each set of six or five or four for what they did. But it all came out to the same in the end. I don't know how many times in history we could say they were all on the same page. Of course, by Matan Torah, Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar, they all say Kol Echad Vayomaru. And here, once again, they all got together and they all brought the same carbon. Nobody wanted to do anything different than the other. Of course, some want to say that since Nachshon started the ball rolling, so to speak, with the first carbon, nobody wanted to do anything different from Nachshon Ben Aminadov because he was the greatest of all, and they assumed that whatever he brought must be the right thing to do. And so what we have to take a look at our leaders, and hopefully they understand that we get on the same page all the time, but we should all listen to our wives better and think about what they're saying. Sometimes the advice that we get is probably cuts to the heart of the matter, and we think more carefully. Have a wonderful week. Thank you very much.